Presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Wisconsin Badgers WFHR locally grown radio.
Time to select the energizing performance of the game, brought to you by Alliant Energy. The energizing performance, definitely pregame. There was a lot of energy at midfield as the Badgers and Hawkeyes got into a little scuffle, ultimately drew a personal foul penalty against the Badgers that was enforced on the opening kickoff. Did, however, change a little bit of the mathematics and how the Hawkeyes, I believe, ended up going in strategy-wise into this game. Would have thought that they definitely would have won the toss and elected to defer. And you hear Tausch talk about it quite a bit in that first quarter, way back when this thing started at 6:05 Central Time, that the Hawkeyes plan to play defense, field position, try to drain some of the clock and run the football. A lot of times that includes taking the ball in the start of the second half when you win the toss. However, knowing that that penalty was most likely going to be enforced on Wisconsin and be enforced on the opening kickoff, ended up taking the ball first, and the Badger defense stopped them. Three and out right out of the gates. So a lot of momentum and a lot of excitement in the stands would have been added too if it would have been a completed pass to Trechke Kahuna, which was about to be a spectacular grab. Sadly, Trech ended up exiting with an injury just a tick later, and then the Badgers' drive stalled out with an Atticus Bertram's punt on a 4th-and-1 at the Wisconsin 43. Talk about energy in the crowd. A lot of Badger fans seemingly were hoping for Luke Fickell to go for it at that moment, but thinking it was going to be a low-scoring field position game, the Badgers punted it away. And then the Hawkeyes went on an 11-play, 66-yard drive, chewing up 5.5 minutes off the clock, go up 3-0, and that started a run of 17 points in 3 minutes for the Hawkeyes. Those 3 points, 2 Badger interceptions in their next 4 plays, 2 touchdowns for the Hawkeyes in 4, and it was 17-0 Hawkeyes. That is your energizing performance of the game, brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. Take a quick time out here from Jake Renfro on the other side. Go inside the locker room with our reports and Mike Heller one more time as we continue. More of our local Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame is coming up. This is Badger football from Learfield.
To be a Badger, it takes dedication, perseverance, and an unstoppable drive for excellence. Our team at UW Health Sports Medicine is no different. We bring the same fierce Badger spirit to every surgery, therapy, and training, working tirelessly to keep Wisconsin's athletes at the top of their game. Whether it's nailing the game-winning shot or delivering top-tier care, UW Madison and UW Health are a dream team committed to achieving greatness. Together, we don't just deliver, we dominate. UW Health. Remarkable.
Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance so you can protect your tandem bike on the go.
Thief!
Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
JJ and TJ.
Picked off by TJ, what?
Russ and Barry.
Hello, Russell Wilson.
This is Badger football from Learfield.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Wisconsin Badgers WFHR locally grown radio.
It's the local Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame here from Camp Randall Stadium, which wish we had better news to report. I'm Bill Schmidt. 37-0 the result here as the Badgers fall to the Iowa Hawkeyes, and a number of tough anecdotes to this game. If you start going down the laundry list of them, the Badgers shut out for the first time at home. That's the one right at the top, for the first time in 45 years. 1980 was the last time the Badgers were held scoreless here at the old ballpark, Barry Alvarez Field today. Saw some nice throwback unis. Looked good out there. Just ultimately the play in them wasn't what the Badgers were hoping for up on the offensive line. Being able to establish a little bit more on the ground going to be necessary next week when the number one team in the land and all of it as advertised are the Ohio State Buckeyes. Defense might be even better than the one last year that won a national title. So Badgers going to have to be trying to get more than 3.5 yards a pop on the ground. Dylan Jones, we heard from earlier today. The man in the middle up front, Jake Renfro, caught up with Mike Heller after the game here today.
Jake, these are tough moments. You guys as a program spent a lot of time focused on what happened at Kinnick Stadium a year ago. That was a big off-season motivation.
Yeah.
And in the first quarter, the turnovers flipped the game very quickly.
Yeah.
Hard to overcome that.
Yeah, you know, turnovers are killers. And when you shoot yourself in the foot like that, it's hard to overcome, especially early in the game. You know, we got to do a better job fighting, and we can't give them three opportunities in our red zone to be able to score points early in the game. You know, we can't shoot ourselves in the foot like that, and that really hurt us.
How do you describe how you feel now, considering the emotion that was put into this rivalry game and all the focus that was put on it, and the scoreboard is 37-0 when you walk off?
Yeah, you know, it's terrible. When you train every day for this game for the past 9 or 10 months, it hurts. You know, there's no worse feeling than what we're all feeling right now, considering all the work we put in and all the time and effort. And for the outcome to be like that, it really hurts.
There are always inflection points in seasons. I don't know if this is one. I know it's a low point. Mm-hmm. How do you manage it as a leader, upperclassman? What do you guys do? Does leadership get together? You know, how does it play from right now, given what you know is in front of you?
Yeah, you know what? It's we're in a tough spot. Nothing has gone our way in anything that we've done, and we really just got to keep this crew together, keep pushing forward, learn from all the mistakes we've made, and just continue to push forward and look at each week as its own individual opportunity. So we're in a really tough spot, but you know, it's only up from here.
I'll leave you with this. Is one of the more difficult things right now to have belief in the ability to get it done, considering where you are and how you change the trajectory of where you are this season?
Yeah, you know, that's it's always a tough thing to, you know, after a game 37-0 against a rival, to continue to believe in each other and to keep pushing forward. It's really tough, but we have a good group of guys who are self-motivated. We have a good leadership crew that can lead this whole team, and we just got to make sure everyone's on the right track and continue to move forward each and every day.
Jake, thank you. Back to you guys.
Thank you.
Hey.
Jake Renfro after the game. Always difficult to answer those questions, especially when there's, you know, not a lot of good positive things that you can say. You'd love to be able to find some good ones. We'll still try to find some more as we continue with more post-game coverage. But before we do that, here from Camp Randall Stadium, take quick 10 for identification. Allow our local stations to identify themselves. 10 for an ID. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
A disappointing result here from Camp Randall Stadium. Homecoming week is always a celebration. Sadly, the celebrating in the end zone was reserved for the road team today. 37-0 the result as the Iowa Hawkeyes, wearing some throwback uniforms, were the Badgers. This was a throwback and an old school butt whooping, sadly, here today. But there will be better days. There needs to be. And it starts with putting together some positive drives early. Badgers unable to establish some offensive footing. That was the main problem. Badgers get to 200 yards on their second to last offensive play here today. Iowa goes 5 for 5 in the red zone. Badgers don't reach the red area. So getting some kind of footing in the run game, you seems like a common refrain. It all kind of starts up front. We just heard from Jake Renfro there, being able to lean on a couple of veterans they have. Renfro, one of them up front. Got to start leaning into your leaders and continue to lean in more on the conversation as we lean into and go into our local conversation on the postgame show. Continue more here from Camp Randall Stadium after the Badgers fall 37-0. We'll continue the local postgame show. Nick Brusewitz is up from the locker room. He'll join me on the other side on 1310 WIBA in Madison and 97.3 the game in Milwaukee. As we continue the conversation going here, a lot more inside the locker room. Nick's conversation with Matt Young amongst other Badger players. Open up the phone lines as well and do some just conversing as the state of Wisconsin football and where to go from here. You'll go and take on the number one team in the land. Ohio State Buckeyes are rolling down the hill, and they're coming into Camp Randall Stadium 1 week from today. Should be a fun one next week. Hopefully the Badgers come to play and make it a good game, because there was a great game last week. Hopefully the competitiveness is back on that side coming up here next week. Thanks to Aisha Jackson and Dave McCann, our on-site producer, here as we continue with the postgame. We'll wrap it up now and once again say bid you adieu on the network side. If you want more conversation, want to interact, and want to discuss it, 1310 WIBA in Madison, 97.3 the game in Milwaukee, and on the iHeartRadio app. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield, under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. General Manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. Alongside Lance Allen, I'm Bill Schmidt, hoping you'll join us Saturday. Kick time, 2:30. Pregame coverage with Mike Heller here on the Badger Network will start at 12:30, 1 week from today on Saturday, as the Badgers take on the number one team in the land, the Ohio State Buckeyes. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger football has been brought to you by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. U.S. Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC. And by Favit Cat, your Caterpillar dealer throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
So, first of all, the judge rejects that. Second of all along, Kristi Noem, Donald Trump, Vice President Vance, Tom Bagman, Homan, they've all been saying, listen, we're just sending the Federal Guard to protect these federal ICE agents, to allow law enforcement to do their jobs, or to protect federal buildings. But in court, where a lawyer is not supposed to lie, and if they do, they risk their ability to practice law ever again, the administration's lawyer would not commit to that limited scope, meaning just protecting federal law enforcement or federal buildings. He wouldn't commit to that when asked by Judge Perry. In response, the judge said, I am very much struggling to figure out where this would ever stop. In other words, if you can just make up out of whole cloth that there's a rebellion when there isn't, And even if that were true, you say, well, the primary purpose is to protect federal buildings and federal law enforcement, but I won't commit to that. They may do other things and I won't describe them to you. Yeah. The concern is, where is the line? How do you control those troops, again, that are facing off against American citizens? Thirdly, Judge Perry went even further. She said that she believed that the National Guard's presence in Illinois would actually make matters worse. I find that allowing the National Guard to deploy at the Broadview Processing Center or anywhere else in Illinois will only add fuel to the fire. And fourth, last but not least, Judge Perry basically came about as close as a judge can to calling the administration a dirty pack of liars as I've ever heard a federal judge come. She said that she had doubts about the statements, the facts that were presented by federal officials and their lawyers in court. She said that there was growing evidence that, quote, DHS's perceptions of events are simply unreliable, end quote. And that is precisely what I was describing and sharing with each and every one of you yesterday afternoon in the closing of our show. The temporary restraining order granted by Judge Perry will last for 14 days. The Trump administration has filed an appeal. Again, we are awaiting release of Judge Perry's full opinion. Now, what is interesting is that Kristi Noem yesterday in the cabinet meeting basically said that everyone else is the liar. All of these other head law enforcement officers that are from city or state government, that all of them are the liars. And of course, no one in the administration is lying. Take a listen to this.
And then I was in Portland, went out and back on Tuesday, and met with the governor, met with the mayor, met with the chief of police and the superintendent of the highway patrol. They're all lying and disingenuous and dishonest people, because as soon as you leave the room, then they make the exact opposite response. So we're looking at new facilities to purchase. They're in Portland too, and we're gonna double down. And I told them if they didn't meet our demands for safety and security on the streets and work with us, then we were going to bring in more federal law enforcement.
So let me get this straight, Secretary Noem. Everyone else is the liar, the chiefs of police, the mayors, the governors, the heads of the state highway patrol. Again, just as a generic observation, I don't know law enforcement personnel to be particularly like progressive leaning folks. What would their incentive be to lie? They don't have an incentive to lie. The folks that have an incentive to lie are the ones that are trying to blow through all of our constitutional protections and convince the general American public that there is some sort of rebellion, some sort of imminent danger. The only group of people with the incentive to lie here is Kristi Noem, Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, Stephen Miller, Tom the Bagman Homan, and everyone else working in the administration. And let me be clear, I do not and will not hold individual National Guards members responsible for the lies and pretexts that are being sold to the American people by the folks that run these agencies and who have commandeered control of the National Guard. National Guardsmen and women are really good people, our neighbors and friends that volunteered to help out in disasters and to defend our country against our foreign adversaries, not to face off against citizens exercising their First Amendment right. And what gets even more ironic here is if you turn back your memories to the point in time during the Biden administration when Texas Governor Greg Abbott was deploying Texas Rangers to try to interfere in how the Biden Department of Homeland Security was securing the border in Texas, and Biden was considering federalizing the Texas National Guard. Oh yeah, Kristi Noem and Governor Abbott and everybody else, they thought that was going to be the end of our constitutional republic. She posted on X back in that time. If Joe Biden federalizes the National Guard, that would be a direct attack on states' rights. Over the last several years, we've seen Democrats trying to take away our freedom of religion, assembly, and speech We can't take them. We can't allow them to take away our right to defend ourselves, too. South Dakota defends the Constitution. Except apparently when it's your guy doing the violation of states' rights, our freedoms, and the Constitution. When we come back, I continue the shutdown watch and the impacts on Wisconsin farmers. So don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
This is what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Friday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Just before the break, I described the fact that Kristi Noem has apparently complete amnesia over the fact that she and every other Republican was calling like for bloody murder back when Joe Biden was considering but didn't federalize the Texas National Guard when Governor Greg Abbott at the time had deployed Texas Rangers to interfere with the federal government's exclusive right to maintain border security. This is when Greg Abbott put effectively concertina wire in a river and there were in the Rio Grande and people were dying, getting caught up in it and drowning. There was effectively a standoff in a state park there. It was a really touch and go situation. Kristi Noem was just outraged, I say, to have Joe Biden federalize the National Guard, quote, in a direct attack on states' rights, end quote. But now, no problem, no problemo. And she actually got on Fox News back then and expressed her outrage. Let's refresh our collective recollections.
That stood by Governor Abbott's side. If you didn't stand with him in solidarity, I'm not sure Biden wouldn't have precipitated a real crisis down there.
Yeah, Sean, I went the actual day that that showdown was supposed to happen. People asked me why, when I heard the news, I immediately the next day was at the border. And it was because of what I heard Democrats encouraging the president to do. They were encouraging President Biden to activate our National Guard soldiers so that they would stand down. He actually was going to take control of our South Dakota National Guard and actually activate them so that they would not protect America. So recognizing the real threat that was to states' rights and how that would be the first time in history a president would pay a soldier to not fight, to not protect our country, made me show up in Texas the next day to let Governor Abbott know I'm here. South Dakota is with you. We will defend our Constitution. We will defend our rights, because the last several years we've seen the Democrats take away our freedom of religion, our freedom of assembly, our freedom of speech. We can't let them take away our states' rights too, especially our right to protect ourselves.
Make it make sense, right? This is bananas. Also, she was inverting all kinds of stuff. He wasn't federalizing either the Texas National Guard or the South Dakota National Guard to not protect Americans. He was considered federalizing them because you had a governor interjecting himself, sending armed local law enforcement to what? Make it impossible for ICE agents to do their job, for Customs and Border Patrol to do their job. So that was not okay then, but it's completely okay now, even though you do not have what you could have, I think, much more legitimately characterized Governor Greg Abbott's use of the Texas Rangers and local law enforcement as. That certainly looked a whole hell of a lot more like a rebellion. And we've got a federal judge saying there's no rebellion. We had an expert yesterday on civil-military relations saying it is only when law enforcement has completely lost control of a situation. Think L.A. riots. We don't have that here. There's not an argument that you do. By the way, if you've been watching any of the footage of these ICE agents or FBI agents, they certainly don't look like they're having any problem taking people down, do they? Seems like that's working just perfectly fine. So why is the National Guard there? Let's just ask Judge Perry that. What did she say? It looks like that the National Guard would only add fuel to the fire. Fascinating. And if this wasn't quite close enough to home, in the Chicagoland area, I want to play for you some sound. This is a WGN producer. This is Chicago's main a television and radio outlet. She has been taken to the ground in this video. She is being cuffed. She is a news producer. There is absolutely no legal reason to be taking down, cuffing, and arresting or detaining news persons that are covering these protests and these interactions. But listen to this sound. There's a person videotaping this. She's on the ground with her hands behind her back, face pressed to the ground, glasses askew, and she's trying to identify herself so that her news outlet can be alerted that she's being illegally detained by ICE. Take a listen.
What's your name?
Debbie Brockman. I work for WGN. Let them know.
I got you. Yep. Debbie Browning?
Brockman.
WGN. Do you guys want to share your names too, or I'm just going to cover your face?
What in the hell is going on? I'm sure our good friend CJ has an answer. CJ, how are you?
Thanks for taking my call, Maggie, and I understand why you don't like to take my call, because you need to tell the whole story. Greg Abbott, the governor, was trying to protect the border of Texas when
it's
Joe
not,
Biden was
it's not, it's not,
6,
it's not Greg Abbott's job, CJ. It's not Greg Abbott's job. There is a difference between federal law enforcement of obligations, which includes border protection, and state. That is states' rights. That's the 10th Amendment. Go ahead, sir. My question is not about the merits of Greg Abbott's position. My question is about the hypocrisy in Christie. My question is about the hypocrisy in Christie Noem's position. It wasn't okay then, but it's okay now?
When you have the president allowing 6,000 per day invited illegal undocumented.
That is untrue, CJ, and you are dodging the fundamental question. I am asking you, why is it, why was it not okay for Joe Biden to do that, but it's perfectly acceptable?
You can try to put it in a box.
I'll put you in a box all day long when you won't engage with me on the issue that faces Americans today. Different standards for Democrats than there is for the MAGA regime. It's all fine as long as we trade on racist overtones of fear of immigrants and lie about Joe Biden's record. Super fine. Well, I'm glad we solved that. We're going to continue the discussion about the impacts of the big, brutal bill and Trump's tariff terrors on farmers on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. Oscar-winning actor Diane Keaton has died. She won the Best Actress Oscar for Annie Hall and stood out in films including The Godfather Trilogy and The Father of the Bride movies.
He's coordinating the wedding and then we're not going to invite him?
Exactly. Keaton was 79. Cause of death was not announced. Clayton Davis of entertainment trade publication Variety.
We thought we were going to have her forever, and it was just such a gut punch.
Five people, including a child, were hospitalized after a helicopter crashed in Huntington Beach, California, as captured on social media.
Oh, no, 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 no! Oh, my God, oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Three of the injured were pedestrians on the ground. With the ceasefire in effect in Gaza, Hamas is expected to release Israeli hostages Monday. CBS's Catherine Watson reports President Trump will be heading that way.
The president says he plans to visit both Israel and Egypt. He said he wants to be there when the hostages held by Hamas are returned.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Brewers battle the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field in Milwaukee. Bottom of the first, the crew's William Contreras at the plate on TBS.
And he pulls this one deep to left center, way back, and gone! The Brewers strike first in Game 5.
Later, Andrew Vaughn with a solo home run. In the fifth, it was Milwaukee 2-1 over Chicago. Pat Murphy before the game on his team's performance this week in Chicago.
You know, to criticize this team for losing two games in Chicago in that environment as well as the Cubs played is how well they capitalized on every little thing. I mean, that's baseball, you know. This team hasn't had more than a four-game losing streak in 2 years. So it's the greatest 2 years win total in Brewer history. They've done that without the big roster, without the big budget, without the free agent signings, without the trade deadline stuff. So respect this team.
That's Pat Murphy. I'll have a full recap of the game tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Candy's family still has trouble watching one of his biggest hits. Candy was self-conscious about his weight throughout his career and did not like the mud wrestling scene in Stripes. Candy passed away in 1994. He insisted on wearing a shirt throughout the entire scene due to his modesty, despite being encouraged to take it off by other filmmakers and cast. You can learn more about what made one of the most beloved Hollywood icons tick in the documentary John Candy, I Like Me, which dropped Friday, October 10th on Prime. When the live-action version of Snow White failed at the box office, Disney got cold feet and halted production on the live version of Tangled. Now it appears the production is back on and has its sights set on Scarlett Johansson for the role of Mother Gothel. There is no word yet on who will play Rapunzel or Flynn Rider or any other cast for that matter. Michael Gracey, who directed The Greatest Showman, will head up the project. You had me at Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-40s. And looking mostly sunny for tomorrow, increasing clouds in the late afternoon, a high in the upper 60s. Showers and storms around tomorrow night, then clearing out as we look into Monday. High mid-60s. Right now it's 48.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You wanted to be cool.
which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire talks about her proposals to provide better support for higher education in our state.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to sneak in a couple of calls before we go to my next guest. And yes, I will get to the shutdown and the Trump tariff terror's impact on Wisconsin farmers. We're going to talk a little bit about the city and county's budget, and then I will circle back. But I want to give some love to our loyal listeners and callers, including my friend CJ. I hope you have a good weekend, sir. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jeannie from Eau Claire, go ahead, ma'am.
You have the patience of a saint. I want to support that.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, in my mind, I keep seeing, as I watch live of what's going on in some of those states and those areas where there's protesters, I've seen people getting attacked and handcuffed, shoved to the ground. Well, anyhow, I keep thinking about the mob on January 6th, because I was watching live, and I had three different TVs, different stations. I'm watching this, of the people attacking, paying Mike Pence, beating up police officers, lots of people, because we're going to the Capitol, you know, and it's like, I keep seeing that in my head, and I think, why in the Sam, you know what, didn't he call in any help? So that's all I got to say, and you have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeannie. Yeah, it is extremely frustrating, the double standards. Richard from Waukesha, happy Friday afternoon, sir. What you got for us?
I have this out-of-the-box thought. You just think about it. Now, this thing that happened with the president in Israel?
Yes.
Was there money behind the scenes somehow?
Oh, well, funny that you asked that question, Jacob. I know it's further down in our sound cues for today, but I do believe we have a wee bit of a sound cue about the terrible conflicts of interest that basically taint the entire Trump family when it comes to their dealings in the Mideast. I believe that this is cut 40 to your point exactly, Richard. Might as well use the sound now since it's got queued up so wonderfully by one of our intelligent listeners. Take a listen to this. This is Andrew Cuomo asking Eric Trump, why is it okay for you to have this stable coin and be doing deals in the Mideast at the same time there's all these foreign policy things going on? And listen to Eric Trump not answer the question at all.
My question for you is, you know what the climate is.
Yeah.
Why would you put yourself in a situation where you get involved with crypto and have the UAE as one of your big customers, and then they get AI clearance for chips from the U.S. government? You know how that's going to look. You know what's going to happen.
That can't be a serious question.
Why put your family in the position? That's all I'm asking. It's a legitimate question.
Chris, I got involved with crypto because I was deplatformed from every bank in the country. Capital One called me in the middle of the night and said, congratulations, we're shutting down 500 of your bank accounts.
All that ensues out of Eric Trump's mouth is a litany of garbage. That I was deplatformed from banks? What are you even talking about? Banks are profit-making entities. They'll finance you and take your money. Ask Deutsche Bank, who financed the entire Trump family corporation for years and decades and decades. By the way, that was, of course, Chris Cuomo, not the former disgraced sex pest Andrew Cuomo, who's now running for mayor off ticket. But not, anyways, yeah, that was Chris Cuomo. Folks, let me bring on my next guest. I want to get in to the sexy topic of municipal budgeting. And Jeremy Janine joins me very frequently on this program, president and co-founder of UrbanMilwaukee.com. We're going to talk a little bit about the city and the county's budgets. Why does this matter to everyone? If you are in Ashland, Rhinelander, La Crosse, in the Door Peninsula, it matters because municipalities across the state are finding it harder and harder to balance their budgets and make them work year over year. And that's because despite the improvements made to local government funding in Act 12 a couple years ago, our shared revenue formulas in the state of Wisconsin for what the state deigns to share with local governments that deliver all the things that are non-political to us, you know, garbage pickup and snow removal and public schools and parks. Yeah, cities, townships, villages, they're all still struggling. Welcome back to the program, Jeremy. Thanks for your patience as we dealt with some of the day's news.
Thanks for having me. I can't promise fireworks like you just had.
Gotta keep it spicy. Tell us a little bit about where the city and the county's budgets stand in terms of their process and what comes next, and then we'll go through a couple of the highlights of each budget.
Sure. So looking at the city and county, they both essentially align. They both have traditional calendar year budgets, and they're both at the point where the executive branch, the county executive or the mayor, have proposed a budget, and then the review is underway by the legislative branch, the county board, or the common council. I suspect cities across Wisconsin right now are going through a similar thing, although as we'll talk about, the scale of it for those two governments is just on another level.
Yeah, it is. It is on another level. Let's do some of the highlights of what we're seeing in the city of Milwaukee's budget proposal.
Sure. And I guess I'll open with kind of a something that's consistent across both of them and is a bit of a canary in the coal mine for the rest of the state, a perfect Milwaukee's microcosm. And that's in 2023, and it really started in 2024, Act 12, new sales tax for both the city and the county and increased shared revenue. But for both entities, they're now having to make cuts because they have a structural budget deficit again. And the driver of that is inherent in how the state allows municipal finances to work. You're only allowed to increase your property tax levy, your primary financing source, by a small amount each year, equivalent to the value of new construction, and then a little inflation increase. But as we've seen on virtually any time we go to the grocery store, inflation has been running at more than a small amount. So every single year we have this gap that grows. And that issue just continues to compound even with this new revenue source. It avoided this is the policy forum's analysis, Wisconsin Policy Forum. Yep. It avoided a dire cliff, but there are still serious problems that will recur year after year after year. And the scale of Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee just makes those that much bigger problems.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me, the term of art that gets thrown around that is so important to decode for people is the concept of unfunded mandates. So the state requiring a municipal or local government to do X, Y, and Z, provide X, Y, and Z service, but not allocating or appropriating the funding that can make that happen. And certainly when you look at the city and the county, there's a lot of that that's going on. And even within Act 12 itself, one of the sort of conditions that was placed on the city of Milwaukee is both fire and police hiring and maintenance of force levels, those kinds of things, which I would argue, yeah, we want to be able to have more police officers on the street. But to require that in the midst of, again, these structural deficits keeps putting these incredible pressures on the city's budget. And we're seeing versions of this, again, everywhere in the state. Jeremy, give us a couple of the highlights that are specific to the city of Milwaukee's budget, some of the cost-saving measures that are a little bit more controversial.
Sure. So there's a revenue source that's controversial, and that is the mayor's trying to increase the wheel tax. And the real controversy is the timing of that. He wants the council to approve that before they approve the rest of the budget. That would allow it to go into effect earlier. That would generate another couple $100,000. On the exciting side, there's planning for a new library that's underway. I think there might be a little bit of friction there under where that new library goes. And I should clarify, not a new library, but replacing an old library.
Yes.
So it's an efficiency thought. The exciting thing about that project, and this will apply to people outside of Milwaukee that will probably come to this facility, is because it's supposed to be co-located with the Central Count facility for the Milwaukee Athletic, Election Commission. So that where all the absentee ballots are counted, that'll now be in a city-owned facility. The city recently has otherwise had to spend tens of thousands of dollars every year renting a building to do that because the scale of it's just gotten so big. And then they're moving a facility, starting to do that, move a facility out of the Menominee Valley. That'll free up highly valuable land. It'll also get a building with deferred maintenance off the city's hands and possibly provide a development opportunity in the central city somewhere.
It's an interesting budget. There have been efforts at the county level before Act 12 to find these other resource or revenue sources. And, you know, when you look at a wheel tax, just like a sales tax, what you see is that it is regressive in nature, meaning it's not based on income. It doesn't affect people in terms of the richer you are, the more you pay. It is an across-the-board wheel tax, which means on a relative basis, it takes up a bigger chunk of a working person's household income, and that can sometimes affect some hardships on folks. Tell us a little bit of the top lines, Jeremy, when we're looking at Milwaukee County's budget.
Milwaukee County seems to actually be, they have a smaller budget gap, but it's proving more difficult for them to solve. The city of Milwaukee has a $100 million structural deficit. Milwaukee County has a $47 million deficit, and the city seems poised to solve their budget gap without any real service cuts that are noticeable to anyone. The county, on the other hand, is proposing to eliminate 6 bus routes, reduce service elsewhere. Graham Kilmer published an article in Urban Milwaukee today about reductions at the Behavioral Health Services Division, but there are just a lot of challenges coming for the county that don't seem as easy to solve as the city's.
And when you think about that, it's interesting that you mentioned the behavioral health services. That is one of those unfunded mandates from the state. Every county in the state is required to provide behavioral health services, either on their own in a stand-up independent mental health hospital or in public-private partnerships, which is what we now have in Milwaukee County. So you're talking about one of these unfunded mandated services, and it's interesting. We've only seen an explosion in mental health needs over the last few years, not a decrease in those needs. That's true across the state. It's more acute in Milwaukee County simply because of population size. You're also seeing cuts happening to transit, which is not an unfunded mandated service. But most would argue, including the M7, including the Greater Milwaukee Metropolitan Association of Commerce, that having mass transit, having bus lines, and getting people to where jobs are is absolutely essential in order to keep businesses here and to keep Milwaukee going as an economic engine. So it's a perfect microcosm, not just for the entire state, where municipalities across the state are looking at these things that make life better but are not statutorily required on the one hand, and these state mandates for which they don't get the precise funding that would be necessary to fulfill those mandates in the form of shared revenue. It's a perfect symbol, Jeremy, in my mind, of this thing that all of us know that we need, transit, this thing that we know we need and we're required to provide, behavioral health services, and the fact that these are the two stones from which the county is trying to get blood, pardon the metaphor here, to make their budget work. Jeremy, writ large, we got about a minute left. What would you suggest folks from across the state take away from looking at the city and the county's budget?
Know that the Act 12 didn't solve budget problems, and that impacted everywhere from Janesville to Superior. It injected money into those communities, but it's going to have a real problem in the future. It might not be next year, might not be the year after, but it's coming.
Folks, that is Jeremy Janine, president and co-founder of UrbanMilwaukee.com. My greetings to Graham Kilmer. Jeremy, tell Maggie says hello. Check out their fine work at UrbanMilwaukee.com. We'll continue our budget watch and give you updates from time to time as that process proceeds. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the Trump tariff terror's impact specifically on Wisconsin farmers. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, no, we can't read a face. Deep cuts, it's the way it goes when you're a part of it. And some authentic cringe. This is from 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. And I want to say special thanks to all of the folks on our text lines participating in our lively discussion this afternoon. Mark from Prairie du Sac, Lori from Hayward, Tom from Monona, Ollie in the Northwoods, Cam from Appleton, Kurt in Madison, Tyler in Wisconsin Rapids. You all are welcome to participate every day in our program. And remember, right now, we have a dedicated phone line and an email for you to tell us about the impacts of the big brutal bill, the shutdown, the tariff terror, the impacts of those things on your family. The dedicated phone line is 855-755-0771. You'll hear my voice on there asking you to share your stories with us. You may end up hearing them on air. If you'd prefer not to do that in a voicemail, you can email us at wematter@civicmedia.us. That email address is wematter@civicmedia.us. Because at the base of all of this, it is only if we give and present like the flesh, the real blood and guts, the real world impacts of these things on folks from our own communities that I think we can hope to break through. And so I wanted to do a bit of that before we hit the top of the hour. And at the top of the hour, really excited, I'm joined by an expert on healthcare in this country. Her name is Jennifer Sullivan. She's with the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. You're not going to want to miss that interview coming up at 5 o'clock. But I wanted to talk about the impact of the tariff terror, the big brutal bill, all of these things on Wisconsin farmers. Because the latest ag economy barometer that was published by Purdue University on October 7th, so just this week, said that farmers nationwide, they are very concerned. Their economic condition is weakening, even though they are in a bumper crop year. They've got record high corn and soybean yields, my goodness. But they are not going to do as well this year. And here in Wisconsin, we produce over 60% of the nation's supply of cranberries. And the United States is the largest supplier of cranberries worldwide. Here in Wisconsin, our cranberry farmers export to the EU, Mexico, Canada, and China. If those countries sound familiar, they are the ones that Donald Trump has slapped some of the highest tariff levels on. And so when we look at our cranberry farmers, they are going to be disastrously impacted by Donald Trump's taco tariff terror and the fact that he seems to flippity-floppity every day. And just yesterday, Donald Trump was busy threatening another massive increase in tariffs on Chinese imports in retaliation for restrictions that China imposed this week on the export of rare earth minerals from China to the U.S. And it appears that Donald Trump, the great negotiator, is canceling a meeting with China's leader Xi Jinping. This is hurting Wisconsin farmers. There's no question about it. All of that economic insecurity and the pain that's impacting farmers is being made worse by the mass deportations. Recall that a recent ICE deployment here in Wisconsin scooped up 24 dairy workers in Manitowoc. Most had no criminal records, and the deportation of these entire crews was occurring. That hurts farmers. Here's what's interesting. Derek Van Orten was addressing a group of farmers, and they were expressing these concerns, and he said this. I cannot believe that he had the gall to say this. "We're trying our best to help you, so I would just ask that you stay in the business and that God will bless you." Wow. And he then went on to ask farmers to support a bill that he just proposed that would fine the farmers for employing undocumented workers, require the farmer and or the workers to be deported, and then try to return under a new program. So he basically says, good luck to y'all. By the way, will you support this thing where I'll strip your workers away from you and fine you? And I wanted to share with you this. A farmer was recently interviewed by PBS Wisconsin. It's as a dairy farmer, and he explained how critical migrant workers are to the dairy industry. Take a listen to this.
Any farm that employs anybody is going to have immigrants, any dairy farm. And at that point, we determined, based on everything that we know, that at least 80%, and I would guess 90% of the milk harvested every day in Wisconsin is harvested by immigrants. Well, there is no visa available for immigrants to get to work on dairy farms. The H-2A visa is for short-term employment, 10 months, and dairy is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So there is no legal way for them to get here. According to the directions from the IRS, if you look at the documents and they appear genuine, you accept them, and that's what we do. And all of our employees have green cards. If Congress isn't going to do their work, we still have to milk the cows. We still have to produce the milk. We still have to deliver calves.
And Donald Trump's solution to all of this is to strip farmers of their ability to make money through this tariff terror and the flip-flopping, and then to give them a bailout. But make no mistake, farmers know exactly what is going on. They don't want a bailout. They just want to sell their crops. This farmer calls that BS out strongly. Listen to this.
I have to ask, where do you stand on the White House's idea of helping farmers with tariff money that is being collected?
That's the most ridiculous thing. Let me explain it to you.
Okay.
Your listeners, excuse me. Those tariffs I'm paying on inputs just this spring, and all of our parts, many of our parts come from other countries. All right. Just this spring, I go to my local John Deere dealer. I need a chain for my corn planter. I take it out of the box, John Deere box, dealt with these people for 40 years, John Deere part number, turn it over. It says made from China. Okay, I'm thinking, wow, that's odd. I just paid a tariff on that doggone thing. So here's the deal. I'm paying that tariff.
We'll let you hear the rest of that sound at the bottom of this hour. Coming up next, Jennifer.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. With Congress stalled and the government shutdown continuing, CBS's Torian Small reports from the White House, President Trump is focusing on getting military personnel paid.
President Trump announcing a fix on his social media, using money allocated to the Pentagon, writing he will, quote, use all available funds to get our troops paid on October 15th. This after House Republican leaders blocked a bipartisan bill for emergency military pay on Friday.
About 200 U.S. troops have arrived in Israel to monitor the ceasefire in Gaza with Hamas. Meanwhile, Linda Gradstein reports President Trump's envoy took part in a massive Israeli celebration.
Steve Witkoff was clearly emotional as more than 100,000 Israelis applauded him and the expected release of the 20 living hostages.
We celebrate something extraordinary, a moment that many thought was impossible.
He also thanked President Trump.